Welcome everyone, this is Spencer from MerchLifestyle.com, and you're listening to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast. Hello and good morning everybody. Happy January, happy 2019, and welcome back to episode 44 of the Merch Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host Spencer, and today we're going to go over December's income report for 2018. I'm going to walk you guys through exactly how it went for me, and more specifically, this is going to be a really good one. It's been my best month ever, but I want you guys to know this isn't a bragging or a flexing kind of income report. What I really want you to get out of today as I go through each income source and the results is being able to gut check what's real, being able to see how I achieved it on what platforms, and being able to take a look at what real expenses and opportunity looks like. And I'm going to be as transparent as I can about how I got there and what kinds of designs and what kind of processes made the most impact for me, not only in December, but in 2018 as well. I'd like to keep this short and sweet, so let's get right into it. You guys will notice that the style is a little different here. For those listening, I'll do my best to narrate, but it's really best viewed probably on YouTube because there's a lot of really good visuals here. On Merch by Amazon, I sold 1,067 products. December was the best month by far. The total revenue for merch was $28,797. So that's the amount of money that people paid to Amazon, and my cut of that was $4,200 roughly across the US, UK, and Germany. I use this new software that you may have heard before that I'm really, really pleased with as far as how it helps me learn a little bit more about how my merch business is going. It's called Pretty Merch, and with this Pretty Merch Pro view, I took a lot of that information and displayed it here. So I'm going to walk through a couple of the highlights that this software is showing me because I think they're quite interesting and I haven't taken a look at them before. I think they could be valuable for me and for you as well. My sales across a couple different countries, highly stacked towards the United States. I think it had a pretty low return rate, only 25 returns out of over 1,000 sales in the U.S., that's really cool. That's under 2.5%, and that's way, way better than it has been before. I expect January might be a little bit higher, higher with the amount of returns, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. 504 unique products sold for me. Right now I have roughly 3,900 products live, and I'm on the 8K tier, which is pretty interesting. So given that information, I'm selling... Well, it says right here, I'm selling roughly 13% of my live products got a sale, which for me, if you've been following along, you know that I do a lot of scaled designs. So I'll take one concept and make sometimes hundreds of revisions of it in different sub niches. And for me, that number, that 13%, is actually pretty surprisingly high. A lot of times you'll see just a few designs dominate. But this tells me that even though it is only 13% of things were sold once in December, that we're fairly diversified as far as scale designs go, and that the strategy is paying off. If this tells me that if I can use my automation experience to go make 100 different shirts or different sweatshirts or other products, etc., that I might be able to expect somewhere around 13% or less, if we're being conservative, percent of products to be sold. And that's a fairly good return if you're just following a process that doesn't really cost you a lot of money to make one versus 100. It's just a little bit of extra time. So that's really encouraging. Another couple of cool numbers here. 843 sales were generated by 273 products. So that's an interesting number. I don't know why it's showing me that 843 sales instead of, you know, the 1,067 that I sold. But you know, also cool to see that the sales are a little bit more diversified than just, you know, 80% coming from 20% of products. My top product types are broken down here as well. I'm going to get a little bit closer so I can see it better. It's a bit small. I sold 40% of my sales were standard t-shirts. And, you know, what's kind of interesting is we sold a lot of hoodies, this month, which is, we sold 30% of our products were hoodies, and that's a little over 318 or so hoodies. That's really interesting to me, especially because merch's royalty changes are going to negatively affect t-shirts, but they're also going to very, very positively affect hoodies, sweatshirts, and long sleeves. And actually those combined, pullovers were 30%, long sleeves were 11%, and sweatshirts were 11%. So really over half of my products now are coming from those, or at least in the winter, are coming from those other types of products. And I think that's going to end up being really good for the bottom line, especially when we take a look at the new royalties that Merch by Amazon has put out, which I'll cover in another episode shortly. Just a couple things to round out Merch by Amazon. The top fit types mostly were unisex at 52%, followed by men at 34% of my sales and women at 12%. Really don't do too many youth shirts, it looks like. And for me, the most popular, you know, the most popular colors are a bit subjective because it's a bit of a function of how many, you can only choose five. So I don't know how much of these numbers reflect me just choosing a subset of colors, but for your information and for your reference, the top colors for me look like heather gray at 28%, black at 26%, navy at 17%, what would be probably a royal blue at 7%, and then heather blue at 6%. Really didn't sell a lot of forest green, orange, baby blue, slate gray, cranberry, or grass color. So if you are playing with some of those colors and you're seeing some of those sales, or you're not seeing sales on specific colors, maybe time to throw in a couple of the more popular ones to the mix. Certainly a heather gray and a black, that makes a lot of sense to have on most products, of course, depending on what your design looks like. And then the last thing I included in the bottom was my top three sellers, fairly evenly distributed. I noticed that my top seller is now has an Amazon Choice badge, which is really cool. We'll see if that turns into any more sales over the coming months. But that product has over 20 reviews, and it actually got removed or deprioritized in search when Merch had the algorithm update about a month or two ago. But now it's back, now that it's back in Amazon's good graces. So we'll see if that Amazon Choice badge does anything for us. But it was my top seller at about $375 in royalties. Probably the last important statistic here is that we're taking home, in the U.S., we're taking home about an average of $3.92 per sale. And again, my pricing strategy for merch is to price really low in the beginning when I'm doing a scaled series to try and anchor that first sale. And then once it sells and I make less than a dollar on the first sale, I'll then increase the margin to closer to probably a $5 margin, at least for t-shirts. And I did have the same logic on pullover hoodies, long sleeves, and sweatshirts. And now that the royalty changes have taken effect, I'm probably going to leave those prices in effect and see if we can't bump up our take-home pay at the end of each month to compensate for some of the money we'll be losing from shirts. But we'll see. So in summary, what do you need to know about Merch by Amazon? How can you move closer towards something like this if you're not there this year, or if you're seeing a lot of success? How can you move the needle? I think my takeaway is that scale designs work. Amazon encourages them. They're giving us the slots to do them. And I'm going to continue doing them in 2019. that's pretty much it. That's the best way to move the needle for me this year, was to sheerly get more designs up. And I had a couple painful days. I had a couple long days. I remember one day I put up almost 400 products, and it was a, definitely difficult to get them up there and move towards. For a while, I had almost, you know, over 4,000 designs live, and some of those are coming down now, but for the rough part, we have a lot of designs live. I think the most important thing you can take away is that the biggest thing you can control, assuming you know how to research and assuming you know a fairly good design from a bad one, is to just scale up as much as you can. And I use Merch Along to do that, to both organize and help me keep my business growing. So Merch by Amazon was great. I have a guest coming on in about 2 weeks from now who has sold his Merch by Amazon account. His name is JJ. And I am curious to talk to JJ because merch was completely passive this year, but I still don't know if it's something I want to focus a lot of effort on, because even though the money's there, it doesn't feel like I'm building anything of value. It feels like I'm just taking some opportunity that's there because I have a process down. And while that's completely valid and okay, I think there might be greener pastures, better ways for me to invest that money where I can build something that is more my own rather than something that is completely at risk or completely not transparent like Merch by Amazon is. So let's wrap that one up. $4,200 on merch. Nothing to cry about there. I am expecting a huge dump in January, but hopefully we can reinvest some of these profits and smooth out merch and make sure we're filling our slots. I have less than half my slots live. Plus, I need to go learn AMS. And see, I think I missed out on a lot of opportunity by not running ads. And that's something I'm looking to change this year. So more to come on merch. Let's move into Etsy. All right. Etsy was fantastic. You guys know I love Etsy. Although Etsy store number one, walking you through this new format, I'm putting revenue, my expenses, and my profit on the left here. And then on the right, I'm sharing screenshots of the amount of views and visits I have on each store. I have two stores. And then the revenue line, and also a little bit of information in there, the sales and credits, which is kind of your total look. Revenue in this Etsy view is strictly your product cost. It kind of breaks out shipping, so that sales and credits number that you see is inclusive of shipping revenue. And then at the bottom, I have a screenshot of my promoted listings performance. Etsy store number one, 4.5 stars, not 5. It was 5 until 2 days ago, until I got a really funky bad review. So I'm working on that. But we have 4.5 stars on this Etsy store, 250 plus products sold. And actually, this one has about 40 products live. It says 400 on the screen, but I flipped those up between my two stores. So this store only has about 40 products live right now. The revenue numbers here, combined between the direct sales of $1,262 and the shipping charges I collected of $548, our total sales and credits, or our total revenue that we're looking at for this store is about $1,809 or $1,810. Expenses here, where this store I'm mostly using, mostly selling mugs and tank tops. It's a strange store. It's a weird mix. The designs are kind of a catch-all, and they go across a couple different niches that don't have anything to do with each other. I usually am fulfilling those with T-Launch through Shopify. So the T-Launch app I downloaded on Shopify, and I pay $9 a month for that Shopify account to link up with Etsy. So when somebody places an order on Etsy, it talks to Shopify. Shopify talks to T-Launch. T-Launch ships to my customer. And I'm mostly selling mugs through them because T-Launch's mug pricing is really good. It's $8 printed and shipped in the U.S. So my cost of goods for this store, $888, which is about 49% of my revenue. Paid $16 for listings. Marketing, I paid $55. We'll talk about that in a second. And I pay, on Etsy, typically you'll pay 5% of your revenue as a transaction fee, which I paid $89. So my pre-tax profit for this Etsy store, which only has 40 products on it, was $762, which is about a 42% profit margin, which is not bad. I think this store, I definitely have some work to do I'd like to change my pricing so that I'm actually not charging for shipping. Etsy has communicated a few times that they will prioritize your listings in search if you have competitive shipping prices, which means if you offer free shipping, then you might look more attractive to a customer, because customers aren't stupid. They know what they're paying at the end of the day. And if I'm selling a mug for $13 and I charge $7 for shipping, then I should probably be paying, or I should probably be telling that customer it's a $20 mug, and get offering them free shipping, so they feel like they're getting some good value and they feel like that mug is worth more than, a $20 mug seems more valuable than a $12 mug. So I have some work to do with playing with my prices on this store, to see if we have any good results from that. One thing I think you guys might find really interesting is promoted listings. This month on this store, I spent $53 to drive about $500 in sales. So I was paying a little over 10% of my revenue that I drove in. And since my margin is 42%, that means, if I'm paying 10%, essentially, and my margin, which is already inclusive of that marketing, is 42%. That means we're making good money by running promoted listings, and it's extremely easy to do. I wouldn't have had 30 orders this month if it weren't for promoted listings. Yeah, so it was really almost half of my total sales. And I did a video about a month ago on exactly how to do this. There's really like 5 steps, and it's very, very easy to test. And I don't spend this month, my budget I think is set at about $5, and I didn't spend more than $3.40 a day. So it can be very cheap to test. I think it's extremely important that you try it out if you're on Etsy and see if it works for you. So go ahead and check out that video if you're interested, but promoted listings were a big part of this strategy. So store number one, $762. Not bad, but we have some changes to make, and I certainly have some more products to load on this store. Store number two is I'll call my premium brand. It's one that I'm really excited about. It's one that I've launched a Shopify store to try to sell directly to customers, and I'm trying to figure out the marketing piece of this. So store number two has 5 stars. It's never received less than a 5-star review, which is awesome. I had over 5,200 views off of 2,900 visits. Our total revenue for this store is $3,662, and I don't charge people for shipping. I don't charge people for shipping, but you know what? In some cases, I actually may charge them for international shipping. So I have to take a look at this. This profit may be even higher, but we'll keep going with the way we have it now. My expenses on this one, I'm typically using Printful. This is a store that does digital downloads, which obviously don't have a typical supplier. You make them, you put them on Etsy, the customer buys a listing, customer downloads them. So those are really nice margin boosting products. But I'm typically using Printful for this store. They fulfill mostly posters for me. So this store is really, really cool. My cost of goods was $1,411, which is less than 40% of my revenue. So higher margins in the store for sure. Listings, I paid $25. Marketing, I paid about $78. You see on the chart that it appears a little bit higher, but that's because the expenses that they list in the monthly summary might be off by a day or so. So essentially the same amount. I do pay for Etsy Plus, $10 a month, which gets me a couple promoted listings for free and a couple goofy things. It's really not that worth it, but I wanted to try it out. So $10 a month for Etsy Plus, and then for my 5% transaction fees, which is about $186. So getting to the point, on this store, we have over 400 products live, over 250 sales. The pre-tax profit for this store was $1,953, and it could actually be a little bit higher depending on when I take a look at that shipping number, which is a 53% margin, which is really, really good for essentially a drop shipping business where I'm not holding any inventory. That almost reaching $2,000 on this store alone tells me that there's a lot of opportunity here. I need to continue to expand the store and expand it onto other platforms too, because people really love the product. One thing I want to mention here is that promoted listings, again, were extremely important. I spent roughly $80 to drive $1,334 in revenue. So what that means is, if my margin, let's just call my margin 50%, and that margin is inclusive of my marketing budget. So if I drove $1,334 in revenue that I wouldn't have had before, and we take 50% of that as margin, that means promoted listings drove maybe $650 to $700 worth of extra money in my pocket this month just for setting them up. And it was low risk, and I spent less than $100 on it. So that was really important for helping this store grow. It's important for helping you reach more customers. It's important for helping you get more feedback. So again, definitely promoted listings, a huge way to boost your Etsy store here. So really excited about Etsy this month. I think the keys to success there are that it's very easy to do competitive research on what kinds of products are selling and what kinds of profit margins there are. I would encourage you guys to think about products a little bit differently. You know, does it really make the most sense to be selling t-shirts, or can you use some of the many print-on-demand providers that you find or that I've reviewed to find products that are not t-shirts that might have a lot higher margin? I encourage you to look at something like posters or digital downloads as an alternative, because the margins there are very, very good compared to what I'm seeing on Amazon and what I'm seeing on other platforms. I mean, there's only so high of a price you can charge for a t-shirt, but with other products that are more unique, I think there's good opportunity there. So I'll certainly be expanding into new products as well on Etsy. Great platform. You know, you pay 5% in transaction fee, you pay them a listing fee, you pay them marketing, but at the end of the day, it's still very, very worthwhile to be on there. I do think they take care of sellers as far as analytics and support. They're responsive, and I certainly trust them more than I trust Amazon. But that can always change. We'll see where they go in 2019. But Etsy was fantastic. Get on there if you are not. And let's round this thing out. On the other platforms, I received $217 in profit from Redbubble, $4 from Spreadshirt, $8 from TeePublic. Hey, it's not much, but it adds up. There's no expenses associated directly with those platforms, so those rounded out another $229 in profit. And the cool thing here is that my business expenses, as far as direct expenses, are very low. I paid $75 or so for some design content. I pay $11 a month for Photoshop, and then I have two Shopify accounts. One is $29 a month, where I am using that for my premium brand, and I still haven't put all my products up there, which is why it's not making any money. Plus, I had to figure out how to market it. And then that you add $9 a month onto that for my T-Launch and Etsy store. So $38 a month to Shopify. So really, the expenses that I'm counting right now are only $124. And there's a couple other interesting ones in here I'm taking a look at. I'm actually changing some things up with my expenses, and I'm hiring a bookkeeping company called Bench, who's going to help me close out my books every month, because my books are a nightmare. And it's a lot of work for me to manually go through and figure all this stuff out. So I'm actually hiring people to help me out with that. And I think I want to be taking advantage of a lot more. Certainly they have to be legal, they have to be compliant, but I think there's a lot of opportunity for me to take advantage of more tax deductions. You know, you can take a look at things like your internet bill, if you're using whatever percentage of your internet bill you're using for your business. You can look at your phone bill if you're traveling for work as a self-employed individual, and you're going to conferences or you're going to meetings. You know, all these things can add up if they're legitimate and verified business expenses. And you know, one of the big ones for me is taking a look at my home office that I pay for right in the Bay Area. It's extremely expensive to live here. So I need to be taking a look at whether or not this counts as an office and whether I can deduct that as a business expense so I can reduce my taxes at the end of the day. So I'm starting to take the first steps there in 2019. I think it's time to frankly grow up a little bit in terms of how I run my business. It's been a bit back of the napkin. So you'll start to see POB business expenses change a little bit, and I'll share as much of that as I can with you guys. So let's bring it all together and just show the big number. So this month, $7,039 in pre-tax profit. And this is a big deal for me because I went through a lot of changes this year with print on demand, where in January, I believe it was, I quit my job and I worked in print on demand. And that was good, and it pushed me forward. But it was also a struggle when I wasn't bringing in the income that I needed to live out here and to support myself and support my family, and trying to build that foundation, having that working solo and not working with a lot of people. There were a lot of challenges this year. So, and frankly, I gave up, if you think about opportunity cost, I gave up a lot of income from my remote job to pursue this full time and lay the foundation. And to have a month like this, it's not a brag, it's not a flex. I wanted to share this with you guys because it's kind of validating when you take a risk and it can pay off and you can reinvest that. And I wanted to show you guys this because, you know, taking a calculated risk, whether it's quitting your job and going into print on demand or something else, sometimes it can pay off and sometimes it can't. Certainly this doesn't make up for all the potentially lost income, but it does tell me that there's something here, that there's something I need to invest in, and that there's something that we're seeing success and we need to keep growing it. And that it's kind of nice to know that that leap of faith where I invested in a couple new products and launched a couple new initiatives wasn't all for waste, if you look at it from a strictly financial perspective. So December is always high in e-commerce. January will not be above $5,000, but this is the first time I've reached my goal of $5,000 in profit, and it's really exciting, and it gets me very motivated to continue not only this podcast, but also pushing this business forward and sharing with you guys how you can grow your businesses as well and learn from my successes and more importantly, my mistakes. So with that, I'll let you guys go. It's quite early here, so I'm going to finish my coffee and roll into work and then the weekend, but you guys will hear from me soon. We have a great interview coming up with JJ. I mentioned he's going to talk about selling a Merch by Amazon account. We have a couple more things lined up and for you guys. So stick around with me. Thanks again for listening. And I wish you guys all the best in 2019. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode and are looking for a super easy way to support the show for free, please head over to iTunes or whatever platform you get your podcasts from and leave a quick rating or even a review. I read every review that you guys leave, and your support helps other entrepreneurs find out about the show, so it's very appreciated. You can find links to all of my income reports, blog posts, email newsletter, my contact info, etc., all in one place over at merchlifestyle.com. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.